Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And I'm quite sure that you will not be displeased with me, and I hope that she is not, if I tell you that the beautiful decorations on the table is the work of Evelyn Metcalf and her staff, whoever they are. I don't know that I do know, but I think she's so faithful in doing all the bulletin boards out there, we hardly ever recognize her. Not because we don't want to, but I don't think she wants us to. But I think you ought to know that she's the one who has done this. And also, I would like to welcome and also to express our condolences to Wayne's mother, who is with us this morning and with some friends with them. As you know, they buried Wayne's father, her husband, this past week. And we certainly want to express our condolences and let them know of our love and our prayers for them at this time. Psalm 116, the title is Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. And he begins by saying, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. May God bless his word as we have heard it read. Several years ago, I was reading the Daily Bread, which many of you are familiar with. And I came across a gentleman who was always giving thanks for something. There was never a time in his life that he was not expressing thanks. He didn't have all of his world's goods. He didn't have all the things that you and I take for granted today. So one day, someone gave him some money, and he decided he was going to do with that money something he hadn't been able to do for a while. That is, he was going to buy himself a T-bone steak. He bought his T-bone steak. And on his way home, he got a little bit tired, and he sat down on the curb. And as he sat down on the curb, he put his T-bone steak beside him, all ready to be cooked. And a dog came, and off went his T-bone steak with the creature. There were observers, and they said, now we want to see him give thanks. And he said, thank God I still have my appetite. Thanksgiving is a state of the mind. In fact, according to our text, thanksgiving is a spiritual instinct. Thanksgiving is what happens to me as a result of God's effectual working in my life. Thanksgiving suggests someone having done something. It suggests a sense of gratitude and a desire to express the same. Now, we will not read all of this psalm. We will just cut right in at verse 12 as the psalmist asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You see, something had happened to him previous to verse 12. Something had been experienced in him, not only to him, but in him. And we will look at some of them in a few minutes. But when we get to verse 12, the psalmist is expressing a great deal of aspiration, something he sincerely wants to do. And so he began by asking the question, what shall I render to the Lord? Very interesting word. If I may, it was a very unique service this past Friday afternoon as we buried Wayne's dad. But the most unique part about it is Wayne getting up to speak at his father's funeral and said, "These are the things I would like to give thanks for." Here was a casket with a departed father and a son who has the spiritual reality to say, "I want to give thanks." Listen, friends, in what circumstances do we have to be in to say thanks to God? What part of us must be affected before we can look into God's face by faith and say to Him, "Father, I thank you"? The very word thanks come from the word from which we get the word grace. Grace. It has to do with something having happened to us from the outside. God having perfected something in my life, and therefore the deep aspiration of my heart is to give God thanks because of a spirit of gratitude. As we look at the text, first of all, I discover the aspiration of a grateful heart. The aspiration of a grateful heart. Now, you know what a grateful heart is? A grateful heart, my friends, is what you feel after having expecting something negative and you receive something positive. Let me bring it closer home. A heart that is full of excitement is the heart who expected $200 from him, his income tax return, and instead of 200, he gets 2,000. My, this is exciting! It doesn't happen all the time. It happens sometimes, I guess. That's what gratitude is. It is an overwhelming sense, a feeling of thanks, a bursting from within to look to him who has done it in the first place. And that's what we see, my friends, as the first aspiration, to recognize life, not only as existing, but that life is provided for. To recognize life's provider. Listen to how the psalmist begins. What shall I render to the Lord? He didn't focus, first of all, on what God did. He focused upon the God who did it. He looked away, he saw what he had, but he realized that these things were no mere chance. These things did not come because of some manipulation of myself. God has acted out of his grace on my behalf, and therefore I want to recognize him. What shall I render? The word render, my friends, means this. To return to the starting point. To return to the starting point. And we read from Luke 19 this morning. 10 men came to the Lord Jesus who had leprosy. As they made their way to the temple, they discovered that they were cleansed. And one returned to the starting point. It is to return to the one or to the place where something happened, something affected. The psalmist says, what shall I do in return to God? It's not repayment. It is recognition. It is realizing that what has happened to him between verses 1 to 11 was an act of God. And so he wants to recognize God as the one who has done it. And how easy it is for you and for me, my friends, to fall into the same trap that the Israelites fell into. As we read it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8. To save time, I will read it. Verse 10. And the Lord gave me 2 tablets of stones, written by the finger of God. Thought of that. This isn't like what I have in my mind. Verses 9 and 10. Here it is. 8. I'm reading 9. But I'm reading 8. Okay. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, lest when you are eaten and are satisfied, you build good houses and live in them. And when you heard your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiply, then your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Do you see it? A recognizing that I want to go to the first point where all this started. What do I have? What do I possess? Who am I? Let me get back to the first cause, and the first cause is God. What shall I render to the Lord? I want to return to the starting point. Do you see the Lord Jesus? Use your minds, your imaginations for a minute. Do you see him? 10 men, and only one return. And by the way, the word turn and return, the same word, the equivalent Greek word to this word render. He went back to the starting point, and look, if you please, and imagine the Lord Jesus amazed. The 10 were cleansed, and only one returned to render to God. Only one returned. Let me ask my friends, was there a place of thanksgiving this past week in your home, in your life, in my life? Was there a place singled out this morning before we came to church? Even as you got in the car to move, to have the sense that I want to return to the starting point from whence all things have come to me, it has come from God. Thanksgiving has to do with returning to the starting point. But not only the recognizing of the provider, but the recounting of life's provisions. Look how he recounts for us what God has done for him. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? We don't have time to go into all of them, friends. But I want you to just, I will just read them here. He said, the cords of death surround me. God delivered me from death. He said, I was depressed. God delivered me from being low. I was in deep trouble, and God delivered me from them all. You see, he said at the beginning, I love the Lord. In fact, it's interesting because in the original, the word Lord isn't there. It's implied. So you know what he was saying? I love who? I love the Lord. Because of all he has done, in every station of my experience, he was there to deliver, to preserve. In fact, if you look in verse 6, there's a very interesting word in verse 6. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me, says the original, the King James. He helped me. You know what the word help means? It means to rescue, to save, to make secure. So David is saying, when I was at this point in my life, even though all the circumstances did not change, I had the awareness of God's presence, and he was preserving my soul. He was saving my soul. He was actually keeping me from stumbling. He helped me. So he recounted all the ways in which God had blessed him. And I want you to note, friends, not one of them is material. Not one of them is material. I think it's significant. Because you see, God does more than saving us materially, giving us what we need for life. God doesn't simply give to us. God makes us. God makes us. God uses the circumstances of life to actually purge our lives as a catharsis for those things which needs to be drained from us, dredged from us, so that he can produce his own character in us. So David says, I want to recount God's provisions for me. And you would allow me, friends, just one moment. Just one moment. Last night, I sat with my son in our family room, and I was on the floor. And you know, one of the most joyful sounds was to hear him laughing.
And there I was on the floor, rolling over and over again. I don't do things like that. But to be able to look into that life, a provision of God, and to say, Father, I thank you for this provision you have made, for you have made it possible for me to roll on the floor again. Provisions.
Well, time will not permit me. Let me go quickly to my second point, the adoration of a grateful heart. First, the aspiration to recognize life's provider, to recount life's provisions. And now look at the adoration of a grateful heart. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take up the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll give you in headline forms. The first, my friends, the first thing a grateful heart does in adoration is to focus upon the saving grace of God. I will take up the cup of salvation. The word literally, I will lift up. I will lift up. It means to magnify. It means to have the deep sense that when God's benefit comes to me, it comes through the saving grace of God. It comes because of Calvary. It comes because God reconciled all things to himself through the blood of his Son. And if I am anything today, it is because of what he did for me at Calvary. The cup of salvation, we heard it so beautifully portrayed for us last Sunday morning. But the cup of salvation, my friends, is this. He drank the dregs of the cup that I might not have to drink it. And I want to magnify that cup because that cup speaks of the substitutional death of my Lord. And because he was willing to die for me, I want to magnify his praise. I want to magnify his name. This is why I believe Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I will lift up the cup, because the cup speaks not of me. It speaks of the one who died in my place, focusing upon the grace of God, the saving grace of God. Secondly, the cup, my friend, speaks of fellowship through the grace of God. I will lift up the cup, and I will call upon. The word call, to invite, to invoke. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God says, I have saved you that you might have fellowship with me. Perhaps it isn't true of you. Perhaps it isn't true of me. But my friends, there are those who believe that once you come to Jesus Christ by grace and by faith, you live the rest of your Christian life by works. And that's not true. You live it by works, yes, but the work of faith. It means that I will constantly look to him. I will call upon him no matter what circumstance I find myself in. Distress, trials, persecution, famine, height, death, whatever circumstance I find myself in, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I don't recall who it is. I think it was some friends of mine. Friend, my wife and me, who live down in the city, they have adopted 10 children, 10. And each of these little ones have some physical deformity, each of them. And they have taken those children, and they have just done such a beautiful job. And I was talking with a mother who was once my secretary down in the other church. And they were facing a kind of a calamity in their lives. And they were talking about it. And the little girl, the first pair they got in the house, they were twins, one boy, one girl. And they heard mom and dad talking about this situation. And they were discussing it as adults will always do. We discuss our problems. We try to define our problems. And this little girl looked up to her mother's face and said, Mommy, why don't we pray about it? Now, isn't that a rebuke? Why don't we pray about it? I will call upon the name of the Lord. This is the Christian life. This is my pilgrimage. Without him, I can do absolutely nothing. And even though I began by grace, I will walk in grace. And St. Paul, my friends, never forgot that he was a man of grace. I am what I am by the grace of God, and my whole life is lived that way. Fellowship through the grace of God. Thirdly, faithfulness through the grace of God. I will pay my vows in the presence of his people. This is unique. God is the starting point of all that I am and all that I have. God is a continuing point in all that I am and all that I have. Having been delivered through his miraculous grace from distress and from defeat and from death, in the midst of that, God used that for me to dedicate myself to him. And he said, I will pay my vows. Pay, it means I will fulfill. I will fulfill the promise that I have made to God when I was in the trenches, when the bullets were flying over my head, when I didn't see where the next meal was going to come from, when I didn't see where the friends were going to come from to comfort me, when I couldn't deal with the problem I was facing, when I couldn't deal with the marriage that was breaking, when I couldn't deal with a boss that didn't understand me. In all these things, I will pay my vows, because in calling upon God in the midst of this, he has answered me and delivered me from all my trials. And because God has done it, I will be faithful in paying my vows to him. I close. Duncan Campbell, most of you might not know who Duncan Campbell is. Great man of God from another era. Just before the First World War, Duncan Campbell was a chaplain in the British Army. And when some soldiers were getting ready to go out there where they didn't know where they were going to return, Duncan Campbell called for a prayer meeting, and the place was full. Full of men who were fearful of an uncertain future. And Duncan Campbell called for a prayer meeting and said, gentlemen, I heard him, by the way, saying this personally. Gentlemen, you're going out at an uncertain time. I don't know, and you don't know whether you will return. Let us trust God for our safety as we go out yonder to face the enemy. And men bowed, they wept, they prayed. And they went out and they came back. Just a few returned. Just a few returned. And when they returned, Duncan Campbell called them and asked if they could have a prayer meeting of thanksgiving, because God has brought them back from the battlefield. And Duncan Campbell said, I can still hear them, as I can still hear him, as they said to him, tell Campbell that he and his prayer meeting can go to hell. Friends, we are a little bit better than that, because we wouldn't say that. But when was the last time you took time out for thanksgiving and praise to God because of all his benefits to you? You wouldn't tell God to do that. But we live from one thing to the next without taking time to say, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. If we haven't done that for a while, will you take time sometime, somewhere today, to look into God's face by faith if you're a child of his? Lift up the cup of salvation and thank him for his benefits to you. And if you're here not being a Christian, you want to lift up the cup of salvation in repentance and in faith. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you too can know the fellowship of grace and the faithfulness through grace.